If you remember last week, I was saying that I didn't know whether to go on to talking about the, well, we have been talking about the pursuit of holiness, and I've taken it up to a particular level where I said I now wanted to talk about the vow of poverty. And that vow of poverty, I'll just say something about it briefly because I'm going to get back to it later. And I said that because of that, I said, let me just expand it to talk about the ministry of wealth, because that's what's very important that people understand. Because one problem that Christians have is the doctrine on money. So I want to talk about money again, that is a Christian, your attitude towards wealth, how you handle your finances, how you do things like that. I've spoken about it here and there about twice now. I've taken topics around that area. Let me tell you, from what I've said now, I'm breaking from that issue of vow of poverty, all right, and the ministry of wealth, and we'll come back to it when I finish what I want to start today. Today, I want to start teaching about what I call the law of faith, all right? The law of what? Faith. I've done series on faith a number of times, once on radio, twice here, all right? The first one, we talked about the life of faith. Second time, we talked about the power of faith. And now, I looked for another word to look. Finally, I got this one. The law of faith. And it's very important. If you don't have this, if you don't understand it, you're not going to do well in life, and God will never be pleased with you. And therefore, we can never say it enough. Now, this is what I was going to say. When I said, let me just introduce what I want to begin to share today. You remember I was saying that Joshua and Caleb, God is not a populist. God is not looking for things that's popular. And it's not behind those who are popular. It's behind those who are with him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, Joshua and Caleb, when they went into the land to go and spy, because the children of Israel wanted to know what was there ahead of time. In case you did not know, that was why God told them to go in. They were the one that requested of Moses, let us go in and see what we are going to encounter. And that was their great mistake. And then Moses said, all right, fine, choose 12 people. They chose Joshua, Caleb, and 10 others. And then they went in there and they saw the giants. Now, this is the interesting part. My friend and I were in the office yesterday and were discussing this issue of the giants that they saw in the land. And he said, Dix said, now, if you read the Bible, you read where they talk about the Og of Bashan. All right? That was the king of Bashan. Og of Bashan. All right? And that they said the bed of Bashan that was described here is still currently, that is, it's, if you want to know it, see it, it's available today, and it is in the British Museum. There's one British Museum that they said that thing is in. The bed of the Og of Bashan. The bed, the measure is 18 feet long. You know what's 18 feet? Your bed at home is 6 feet long. 6 feet and a few inches. This man's bed is made of iron, 18 feet long, and about, I think maybe 12 or 8 feet wide. That was the bed of the Og of Bashan. A literal human being that was existing, that was head of a number of cities that the Israelites were supposed to go and attack. Do you get my point? They estimated the height of the guy. You'll be dealing with a man who is at least 15 feet tall. Do you get what I'm saying? And that is not just height. You can imagine the breadth of his shoulders. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? When Goliath showed up for battle, Israel stopped coming. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is when Goliath showed up once, the rest of Israel stopped coming. They came here, let's go out. They camp against the Philistines. Then Goliath appeared and said, where the man we won't fight? And everybody went back to his tent. Why did he not gather to fight Goliath? That is, the guy was big. It wasn't a joke. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is what I want to bring out. You know, we were talking about it then, about the great men of old that the Bible talked about. We're still going to talk about the Monday series. All right? When you talk about the Canaanite was in the land. When you talk about the Raphim, the Anakim. Those things were not jokes. They were literal people. But those guys, you can imagine that they can't stand here. This building is too short to take their height. And they tell, okay, enter that land. And it wasn't one of them. There were many. And I see some short people say, go and take the land. Are you not following? So you don't blame people who came back and said, we are not able. And in fact, they concluded that, you see, God must indeed be wicked. No, let's face it. In Egypt, there are no giants. Before we came, maybe the giants had gone. Because giants were also there at a time. They built the pyramids. People have refused to acknowledge that. Is that okay? Now, maybe they went after, I don't know. But at least we're comfortable. The only problem was we had to walk every day. God wanted to kill us in secret. So he took us out here and said, come and fight these people. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. That is, when a banky preaches and says that there's no challenge big enough to stop a man from prospering in this land or anywhere in the world, people who have seen giants will think I'm drunk. But God said, if you say that, you are my enemy. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I want to bring out an issue here. These people saw. Now, when my friend and I were discussing this yesterday, I said, I have to come and repeat this here again. Og of Bashan. That they said his bed is still there. You want to go and see, go to the British Museum, you see it there. Now, people like that gathered. God now said, go and face them. That's number one problem. The second problem is that when you say you won't face them, he now faced you. Let me tell you, if you don't want to be a Christian, please don't be. I have said this in severally. A believer who will not follow God properly will suffer more than an unbeliever. I don't mean that as a joke. If you don't like it, please just go and join a cult. Go and struggle like everybody else. You have a better chance. That's what the Bible calls neither hot nor cold. And God has a problem with things of that temperature. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Look at the children of Israel. You see, let me tell you something about God. Now, this is my own personal life as an example. There are times I will sit down and I will think. Don't think I am blind. You know what I'm saying? Faith is not the man who doesn't see physical things. Now, the Bible said concerning Abraham, Romans chapter 4, that he contemplated his body, now as good as dead. If you have a King James, he said he contemplated not his body. That was a mistake. Read every other version. He said he contemplated his body, now as good as dead. He said, but despite that, he did not grow weak in faith. All right? But he became stronger in faith, giving glory to God. What am I going to say? That I see also. So sometimes I see things. I remember once I was in Luth. Everybody around me experienced a kind of promotion. And I was left behind. And I remember that day I sat down and I was depressed. That was many years ago. And as soon as that happened, the Lord directed my mind back to somewhere in Isaiah, I think around 45. And then as soon as I read it again, I was encouraged. That's the power of the word of God. I was listening to Bobby Mason. I don't know how many of you know Bobby Mason, musician. All right, Bobby Mason. The woman sings, she ministers in her songs. She's not a musician, just singing nice voice. She has a very nice voice, she sings very well. But her songs are packed with words. I was listening to her song a few days ago, and she said something like, the title of the song is Stop by the Church Sometimes, that something may be said to help you on your way. You know, she was talking like that, you know, and you hear the preacher preach, and she described some things that could happen. And that's actually how the word of God works. If you don't stop by to hear it, listen, when God wants to help you, you are not there to be helped. I don't know what I get to say. So when I get into such, at least those days, even till now, it doesn't happen so frequently, but then when it does happen, right? You're a human being, and you see things happening around, you may almost get discouraged by the challenges of life. Sometimes it will appear like you're the foolish guy. Every time, what brings you out is the same that happened to David at Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Everybody said, this guy has led us wrong. They let us stone him to death. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Are you getting me? So then it was that word that encouraged me and lifted me up again. It happens. So in life, you see things, all right? And they are like the giants in the land. If you don't have the word of God, there is no how you will not collapse in the presence of the giants. But let me say this to you. History lets us know that those giants were always defeated. Anybody who stood up to those giants always killed them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Which tells me something. They were only there to scare people. Have you ever heard that the giants killed the Israelites? You think it was only David that killed Goliath? His men killed giants. David's men. They killed giants. Caleb and Co. They would slaughter giants for breakfast. Those guys didn't know. It was normal with them. But the very presence of those giants will intimidate anybody. What am I trying to say? There is no challenge you can't face and overcome. What he's trying to do is to persuade you not to come close. And that's why most people lost out. You can imagine that all the nation of Israel, all of them would have died in the wilderness before because of giants that they could have killed. They could kill the giants. But seeing the giants, they were afraid. Fear is a major thing. That's why we're talking about the law of faith. I was talking about a Christian having to make a choice. So yeah, it will happen to me sometimes, and I almost get discouraged. But then when I look back, I like one thing that Dion DiMucci said. Dion DiMucci is a musician, and I've not heard his music in recent times, but the one in school those days, I still have the tape till now, Dion DiMucci. You know, his songs are also powerful, like Bobby Mason songs. They are loaded. There was one song he sang, one of my favorites. He said, "Lord, I have come too far to turn back now. I wouldn't if I could, so it doesn't matter anyhow." I have the tape. Very powerful song, very, very powerful. That is when you start on the journey with God, listen, halfway through the journey, you look like a loser. It's as if the thing goes down into a valley before it rises back to the mountaintop. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? And this is the problem. If you turn back in the valley, the Bible says they have broken my covenant. Are you getting my point? He said, "My soul, we have no pleasure in you." He said, "Anybody that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom." You want to walk with God, you have to start from the beginning. That is why Jesus described it as a man who will be willing to lose his life for my sake is the one that will find it. Because when you decide to walk with God and do things the way it will be pleasing before the eyes of the Lord, at the beginning, just make sure you make up your mind, "I know I'm a failure." Start. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. That is, I have accepted failure. Now, having failed, in fact, that's why it's good to fail at the beginning. Fail very well. Go and tell everybody, "I'm a failure in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. All of you have seen me now." Say, "God, so I can't be worse than I am right now. So can we start?" So there's only one way forward. I was quoting this woman last time, Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine Kuhlman said that she believed that one of the reasons why God could use her was that she had nothing to lose. That is, when she took that step in marrying that man and then she came out, she was flat out empty. She knew nobody. She had no friends. She knew nobody. She had no reputation. Are you getting what I'm saying? She had no reputation to protect. Everybody knew that woman, nonsense woman. So that one is a final deal. She looked around. There was nothing. So the only thing to do is just walk with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why Paul said, "Look, all your advantages, you had better count them as loss. I count them as a disadvantage so that at least from the beginning you know you have nothing to lose again." Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, if anybody walk with God like that, then that person is the one that will really succeed. Are you getting my point? Now, I said I'm talking about the law of faith, and I just wanted to get that one into our hearts as we start. That is the only way forward. Did you hear what I said? Is the only way what? Forward. There is no way out. If you've started, I'm sorry. Jeremiah said, "God has deceived you, you have been deceived." You know what? Jeremiah was angry with God. "That you should have told me to be like this, I would not have come." He said, "You should have told me this is what you'd be at the beginning, I would not have agreed." That's what he meant when he said, "God has deceived me, and I have been deceived." Not as if God deceives people. Yeah, the man didn't know that this is how much he will have to suffer with God to be able to do something for him. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's the way it is with Christianity. All right? It's not a popular religion, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, now everybody goes to church, so, amen, praise God. Which church do you go to? Very, you know, you proudly name a Pentecostal church. It's now part of your CV. No, it's true. I'm telling you, one man once said was looking for people to work for him. He said an important part of their CV for him is that you're a worker in a church. I said, "Please explain." You know, I'm a preacher, so I was curious. Is that they are very nice people or what? I said, "Please explain." He said he has noticed that those people are serious people. They are willing to go an extra mile. And they're usually very dedicated to their job. Ah, okay. I understood. All right, you're going to get a worker in church very soon. Amen? And then you start hating workers in church. What I'm trying to say is that Christianity is not like that. That's not what we are using it for. Sometimes it can lead you into the depths of the valley, making you look like a loser. Are you following me? But then at the end of the day, it is so that God can bring you to the top of the mountain, making you the winner with Christ indeed. And most people, they pull back once they begin to see God move them towards that valley. It appears like, God, this reward is not coming quickly. And you know, and then they get discouraged. But God said, "Look, listen, if I don't remove every other God from inside you, I can't help you. You can't help me." And that's a better word. You can't help me. You can't walk with me. You can't do things I want to do in your life. You just have to be willing. People look at, you know, I sat down yesterday. I said, NEPA in Nigeria right now, they don't let me sleep well. Do you know that? I felt very bad. I have a generator. In fact, I have more than one. Okay? The problem is that when your generator is on, you don't also sleep. If you put it off, the children won't sleep. If you leave it on, you, the father, won't sleep. In fact, the heat won't let even you sleep. One day I sat down and said, "God, you have to do something. This is not good." Those are the days I used to enjoy my brother Deji being around. Because if Deji's around, he's the one that doesn't sleep, me, I sleep. I was like, Deji, when you bring the lights, put out the journal. He said, okay. Me, I go and sleep. All I know is that he lies. I don't know whether his journal is working. Is it or NEPA? It is his problem. But after the guy left, he came back to my job again, and I couldn't sleep. But those are small things, because I'm a great man that God has made, and there is the problem of NEPA failure and no NEPA failure that separates the men from the boys. I won't move to America because NEPA is taking light. Let them cut off all the wires on the street. I still won't move. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those are little giants in the land. Listen, for great men, Paul said that there's no athlete that worries about such things. The real athletes, no. They don't encumber themselves with little problems. All right? You want to face challenges. That's why I like reading the books, the type I was telling you about. Go and face challenges of hundreds of millions of naira. That's how you know you're a man of faith. I don't know what you're going to say. Don't let small challenges, never taking light, make you a grumbler. If they take light, so you open your windows. You're a single man, sleep outside. No, it's true. Those days, I used to tell my wife that, how did we used to sleep in Transtech room when we didn't have a generator? And I remember we used to sleep outside. If they take light, we just come to the balcony, toss a mat there, and lie down there, and sleep. Those are small challenges in life. Are you following me? All I'm trying to say, that God expects men of faith, and we're going to begin to talk about that today, to deal with serious matters. So if you are grumbling on such things, you are not ready yet. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, you are not ready yet. If those are the things you are still complaining about, you are not ready yet. Because see, NEPA will, in fact, let me prophesy to you, Nigeria and NEPA will not permanently improve until men take them over. Are you getting me? In this country, there's nothing that government will do that will succeed. Look, listen, you say, but what are you saying? Are you cursing them? No. God doesn't want it like that. That is the reason. You can pray all you want for federal universities. They will do well for some time, but they are coming back down. The only university that will do well are private universities. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, it works like that everywhere in the world. It's not only in Nigeria. Britain was going to collapse until Margaret Thatcher says enough, sold up everything to private investors. That's what happened in Britain. Margaret Thatcher sold everything. So the guys realized that, listen, that's the only way to go forward. Look, government can't handle anything. Are you getting my point? So why is Pastor Banky preaching? Why am I preaching? The guys that God will use, they have to hear words first. God doesn't want people career laborers. Just pay me money, please. ₦1 million a month. That's fantastic. Let me sell my birthright. No. God is looking for who? Workers for him. That is, people who do these things as a matter of ministry. I'm going to talk about what they call the ministry of wealth. I told you. Somebody has to control something like NEPA. You don't know that? And the person must have a minister's attitude towards it. That is, I am serving power to the nation. I'm not trying to recoup money. I'm not trying to gather money. You are following what I'm saying? That's why we are talking like this. You see, people have to build schools. Government can't do much. After primary school, the job of government has ended. They now want to increase it to what they call American system now. You know, you get to grade 10 now? 9, the ninth grade. After that, you're on your own. You are following my point. Are you following my point? I thought the best university in America, I mentioned to you the last night, they were at Bible schools, Harvard. And what was the name of the other one? Yale. They were Bible schools. One was a Bible school first. I think it was Harvard first. Then Yale people got angry that those people are backsliding. They went and started their own Bible school. They to backslide eventually anyway, but I'm going to say that they started those schools as Bible schools. Now, if you come out with a Harvard certificate now, people virtually worship you everywhere you go to apply for a job. They were started as Bible schools. So great things like that still need to start. And you know, I started telling stories about the Og of Bashan. Because human beings, that's the problem. You see all the giants and you think Banky is kidding. Are you following me? And that's what I want to start talking about today, the law of faith. You see all the giants, you think I'm joking. And I told my son yesterday, I forgot what he did. The boy is 4 years old, in case you didn't know, he's 4 years old. So he physically cannot comprehend what I'm saying. But after reading around so much, the guy was powerful. Forgotten what he did. I tapped his head. I said, you'll be a very rich man. Very rich man. And in fact, you'll be a billionaire counting in dollars before you are 30. And I didn't mean as a joke. It's a prophecy. I'm not trying to, I don't know how it will work, but I will continue saying it will come to pass for only one reason. I said so. Let him want to go mad. That is personal problem. All right. Apart from the fact that I will teach him against madness. But let us even assume the guy is there to go crazy. There is a power in David that kept Solomon. Do you follow my point? It will keep him. Then when God has done what he wants to do in my life in him, I don't know whether you understand what I'm going to say, and then he can go crazy if he wants. Please get my point. Listen, I'm saying this so that you know the kind of thing I'm preaching about. I'm not preaching about, praise God, you can get a good job. You can get a good, God punish you if you're looking for a good job. You can have a good job temporarily. Do you understand my point? But it's not your goal in life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All those are gospels of poverty. Men who have been kept down, that the Satan is sitting on their necks. They can't rise. So therefore, in their prostrate mode, all they can think about is a good job. I'm not talking about those who get good jobs. I'm looking for those who create them. You know, the kind of thing you should be thinking about. Maybe one day you see, you just stand on the road. You just see, a car pass. Very beautiful car. BMW X5. Not bad. What's that car again? Lincoln Navigator, Toyota Secure. I just look and say, very nice car. I should buy that for my MD one day. That's the way to think. That is, in your mind, you know you have risen beyond thinking about which car will I drive. Now, you are tracking when you are saying this. Remember the story I told you about an advert I saw on TV by one South African bank. A young man, let me tell you the story again. Well, a little boy, not a young man, was standing beside a very beautiful car and admiring it. The old man who owns the car, a doctor, just came out of the home where he went to make a house call and saw the boy and said, "You like my car?" The boy said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Oh, my brother gave me this on my last birthday, something like as a birthday present." So the boy looked, thought for a while. He told the old man, "Do you know what I'm thinking?" The old man said, "Yes." "You're hoping that one day your brother will give you a car like this." The boy said, "No." He said, "One day, I will be a brother to give my brother a car like this." And then they wrote under it, "See the world from a different angle." I said, "Yeah, inspiration. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to the advertising agent." Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That old man has a poverty mentality. So all he can think about is, let me get. All right? So it was the young man was also thinking like that. The young man said, "No. That I will have a car like this is already too small for me to think about. But that I will have the ability to be giving it out as presents." I used to say, and I still mean it, I said, the day I will now have started, I've modified it a bit because I've accomplished on one level. I used to say that the day I know I've started is when I've given out my third car as a wedding present. I've never given out a car as a wedding present, but at least I've given them out as presents. But they are not new. They are used. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, okay. So when I know I've started, it's when I've given the third brand new car or something of that level out as a wedding present. That's when I know I've started. That's always been my thinking. That I would drive car has never been a matter of prayer. You understand what I'm saying? That God will please one day in life. No, it was taken for granted. It was a matter of time. Do you understand my point? Listen, read wide. I told you I was reading that book by Donald Trump. And one of the things I look at, the guy will tell you that he did this when he was 27. At the age of 28, he was talking to the whole city and they're going to build a complex that cost him about $200 million to finish. The next time I saw him pass, I said, "This boy, before you are 30, you'll be a billionaire counting in US dollars or whatever be the hot currency of that time. If it is Nigerian naira that we are rushing for, which in Jesus' name to be a powerful one, then you'll be a billionaire counting in the world currency of that time." Waiting. The cause where then cause harm. It don't pass away with the blood of Jesus. Is that not what we discussed the other time? We know Cush, the descendant of Ham. And we know he was cursed along with Canaan. We discussed that on our school of Bible exegesis. If you were here, you would have learned that one. We know. Mizraim. We know they were all cursed. But we also know that the handwriting of ordinances against them has been nailed to his cross. That we are no longer servants of servants. That Michael Dell became a billionaire when he was like 36, 35. It's not fantastic. It can be done anywhere in the world. We're not preaching a gospel of covetousness. What are we trying to say? To explain to people that if God wants to bless people in life. Are you getting my point? God wants to bless you. If you don't position yourself in a place where he can use you, you too will be a beggar. You'll be a servant of servants. Go and read the cost that Noah cost Canaan. Ham sinned. But we see that cursed be Canaan. We explained that the reason why it was recorded as cursed be Canaan is because Moses was the one recording. And it was explained to the children of Israel why we are going after the land of the Canaanites. If you know the spiritual order, read through the whole Bible about it. No, that curse was not for Canaan. It was for Ham and his descendants. But the emphasis in the life of Moses was who? Canaan. Therefore, we know for sure that Mizraim was cursed. We know Cush was cursed. They are ancestors of the black men. And what did they say? It says, servants of servants will they be. That is, amongst the descendants of Japheth, you will see servants. But that the best men in Cush will be servants to those ones. But that was then. That was why they came and carried everybody here, carried them as slaves. But the time of slavery has passed. Do you understand my point? The curse that Noah gave to Ham and to his descendants, including Cush, those ones passed when Jesus came. He said, right now, there is no wall of partitioning. He has made everyone into one. Paul explained that is God the God of the Jews alone? He said, no, he's also God of the Gentiles. Is there anyone that is of faith? Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me put it like this. Can achieve anything that anybody can achieve on this earth? Anyone? Let me explain something to you. Go and read it. Read around a bit. Bill Gates didn't start out to be the richest man in the world. And I really am not impressed that we rank him the richest man in the world. I'm not, you know, really. Because the other time we're analyzing it, what's the name of this man who owns Chelsea? Abramovich. Abramovich was the most liquid man on earth. He had more cash than Bill Gates could ever dream about. They paid him $11 billion in cash to take over his company back. Bill Gates can't raise $11 billion. Maybe most of you don't know that. The man is worth $40-something billion according to the value of his shares. All right, most of them in Microsoft. If he starts selling, the whole world will wonder what's wrong, and the share value of Microsoft will drop. Abramovich had $11 billion in an account somewhere. What am I trying to say? I'm not impressed that somebody is saying, no, that's not the point. But what impresses me about him is that right now, we are preaching the message. It's being recorded digitally on a program that runs only on Windows. Are you getting my point? Every book I have written, they have been typed on Microsoft Word. Everyone has been set on either CorelDRAW, all right, or CorelWord Perfect that run on Microsoft Windows. Are you getting my point? Our this thing, you go to our website, everything links to Microsoft Windows one way or the other. The chances that you are browsing with Internet Explorer right now has dropped slightly, but it's still at least 90% if you're brought from Nigeria. One day I told my friend, I said, no wonder the guy is the richest man on the earth, because that value of his company is a matter of perception in the minds of the people. But that's why we have to perceive it like that. Anyway, by the time you pay a man $4 billion dividends in 1 year, he's the richest man in the world anyway. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But did he set out to be making so much money? No, he set out to do something that nobody else had done before. That's all. He set out to affect the generations of the earth. And I'm saying to people, stop thinking like descendants of Ham. Servants of servants. Say, if I can just get to America, even if it is God I sleep for 1 year. You see, let me tell you, spiritual things have an interesting way of working. They won't just say, okay, who wants to be slaves? Come over. No. Is that how you catch fish? Who wants to die? Come over. No, you put a worm on the hook and say, who wants to eat? Are you getting the point I'm making? There's one man in Nigeria, I won't mention his name, because one of the reasons being that I didn't hear the story directly from his mouth, and I'm very careful when I'm repeating stories that are handed down like two or three places, okay? If I read it myself, I'll give you his name. They said once, it turned out to one of the richest men in Nigeria, they said once he went to a company in Nigeria here, wanted to work. They gave him the job, told him what he was going to earn. So he asked them simply, how come the other guy, who happens to be an expatriate, a white man, how come he's earning twice or three times what he's earning and they're doing about the same job? They didn't give him a very good explanation. So he tore the appointment letter and threw it in their face that they are very stupid. That is the guy more intelligent than him. Now this guy is an expatriate, a white man working there. He said no, he's not going to take their money. Now, he was a poor man in quote, all right, who was looking for a job, but he had a winner's mentality. He had a rich man's mentality. He had a liberated mind. So he said, look, why are you paying this guy this and you're paying me this? Why? Just explain the reason. And they gave him one very stupid reason. And he said, no, that won't work here. And they said, if you don't want it, walk out. So he said, okay, good. He told you I'm going to let him, and walked away.
a few years later, if he wanted to buy that company, he could buy it. Look, wealth is not to the discerning. Are you getting my point? There's a Bible says that it's God that shows mercy. There are things that people do, and God will say, yes, you are ready for the place where we want to take you to. Hey, I don't know why I'm gisting today. But please, I want your heart to be enlarged and lifted. You get my point? I want you to open your mind and know that little thing you are doing in one small corner office, all right? Don't think God lives in America. That's why Michael Dell started Dell. You know where he started it? In his hostel in the university. Is it Microsoft that started in his garage? Then Google, he and his friends started in one small garage also. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, but for your information, this man was judged as retarded. What is his name? Cisco. They say he had a learning disability. Heard of Cisco? Those of you who are computer literate, you know of Cisco. They looked at Cisco and said, this man can't read. He can't write. He doesn't have the brain to learn. And everybody's worshiping a Cisco connections networking system. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I want you to understand the cause of harm has gone. You follow what I mean? And right now, those little things you are doing in corners, in places, all God needs to do is blow upon it, and then fire will, erupt. You know, when you want fire to blow properly, it does this. You blow on the wood. But God, you see, they are not doing anything. They are not even interested in me doing anything for them. Somebody lied to them. Because, see, that's all Satan can do. Tell lies. You know, I said that Satan is not powerful. If Satan was so powerful, why does he go around asking questions? He's not. All he can do is tempt. And Satan can't enter into you and force you to do something. No. He first talks to you first. He says, still. It's the only way forward. Nigeria is bad. Country is difficult. There's not much you can do in this life. Just start stealing. Then the man starts stealing. Once he has stolen enough, he has become a friend of Satan. Satan cannot enter him anytime. That's why a Judas could betray Jesus Christ. That's the way it works. When he entered the garden, he's not, excuse me, ma. Good afternoon, ma. Now, so you take great evil. Good afternoon, ma. If there, can I help you? Yes, ma. We are reporters from one magazine. We just want to find ask you a few questions about the order in this garden. Uh-huh. Has God really said that you guys shouldn't eat of that fruit? God said we should eat everything. No, he said that. How did he ask this question again? Anyway, asking a question like that, the woman started talking. Blah, blah, blah. He said, "All right, but researchers have shown. Do you understand that? According to the report by Kinsey and et al., published in an 800-page article that was done over 6 years between Connecticut and Malawi, they have found out that if you eat, you will not surely die, but you shall become wise and you shall be like God. In fact, madam." Let's switch off the microphone. Off the record, you won't die. Eve said, are you serious about that? Say yes, try. If you were so powerful, why did you take that long route of conducting an interview? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's what he still does today. Tempts people away. At the end, you know, I want to talk about the law of faith, and my time is going. I'm going to introduce it. See, faith is a law. I have first heard this statement from the mouth of Casey Price. Faith is what? A law. Like gravity is a law. If you operate the law of faith, like it's just like gravity. If you jump off from this building, you shall go down. That's the simple thing. Except you power yourself with something else. There's a reason why I said that one. But there is a law of faith also. That if you take a step of faith, Jesus said, whatever you ask, if you can believe, I will talk about that. I will introduce that today, then I will leave it. If you can believe, what was Jesus saying? He said it will be done. If that thing is not true, Jesus was a lie. I don't mean Jesus was telling lies. The whole person of Jesus Christ was a crazy fellow who we are serving. You are getting the point I'm making. That thing was absolutely correct. It's a law, Paul said. Romans chapter 3, I'll start from there. It's a law. And if that thing is true, do you understand? That means that everything that Jesus said, and if that one is true, then there is nothing that a man believes on this earth that will not happen. So if Satan understands that, you understand why his major assignment is to make sure they don't believe. Oh, let me give you my best example again. Well, one of my best examples, Jackie Mize and Terry Mize. Terry Mize wanted to marry Jackie Mize. Jackie Mize explained to him that she couldn't have children. And he said, why? And he said, because the doctors explained this and this and that and that. He said, oh, who said the doctors? Nah, I forget. I thought it was somebody more important. You know, I told you last time. Okay, was he here I preached? No. I said, who told you? But we discussed that one here before. Who told you you were naked? So the man said, who told you? The woman said, the doctors. Ah, the man said, forget. I thought it was somebody else. They don't, those ones, their knowledge is limited. I take my own knowledge from afar. I ascribe righteousness to my maker. I like the way Eli said it. Say that one, I joke. That is a man of faith. I said, forget. Just marry Job. So he married. Because, now this is my own estimate of it. Because of the littleness of our faith, they had trials at the beginning. But the words that he spoke, you know, they are crucial words you speak. That even if you forget, the words don't forget. The world that heard it did not forget. The angels that heard it, they didn't forget. The God that you said in his presence cannot forget. Those words he used to respond to her at the beginning, they came back. They can't return void. By the time she was writing the book, I think she had three bouncing grown-up children. Three or four. Without the help, it would have been foolish of them to have gone to another doctor to go and confirm what the previous one said. No. With the word of God alone, something, listen, it is a matter of faith. I said what? Faith is a law. If you obey it, it always produces. Are you getting my point? Hey, it's a law. And that's why we're talking about the law of faith. All Satan tries to do is to persuade people that nothing will happen. In this country, nothing will happen. Invest your money, you are going to die. They will chop up the money, let them chop it. You know what? Listen, there's one of the things you must learn in life is not loving your life unto death. Not loving your life unto what? Death. That is, you do something, maybe we are talking about economy now and all of that. You invest money somewhere. As you are investing it, count it as loss. I don't know whether you get my point. If the phone you want that everything is dead, they say that's one of those lessons in life. You forget it. You keep on moving. I like one thing Robert Kiyosaki said. He said, I know many poor men that have never lost a dime, but I don't know any rich man that has never lost money. He said, I don't know any rich man that has never lost money. He said, but many poor men I know that have never lost a dime. He said, no, I'm very careful with my money. I've never lost 50 kobo. Ask the man, can you afford 500,000? He can't. They ask the man who can write a check for 7 billion naira without batting an eyelid. How much have you lost? Girl, the other day we did this business, it cost 250 million. We didn't get a dime out of it. But right now the man can afford 7 billion without batting an eyelid. Why? Because there's a law. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Maybe I should start with that one. There's a law. There is a law that he stepped into, the law of faith. This, you know, that's why you hear people say that, even if a Muslim operates it, I say, wait. I go a bit beyond that. But there's a reason why they say that. There's a reason why they say that. Because it's a what? Law. But one thing I want to introduce to you today is that Jesus said that those who are outside, who are not disciples, they get it only in parables. That is what the Bible calls the mysteries of the kingdom. To me, not chiefest of them is this law of faith. That's why Jesus always went around admiring faith or grumbling about lack of faith. You know, that's all they ever used to complain about. Hey, why did you doubt? Oh, you know that kind of, I told you, why did you doubt? Then when he saw faith, he said, Babake. When Jesus will see people exercise faith, he's like, if my people exercise faith like this, I will change Nigeria. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That, hey, this is the law without which we can't do anything on this earth. So you look at the Jews. Look at you people sitting down there. This is a Roman. He said, I have not seen faith like this. No, not in the whole of Israel. If Israel could exercise this faith, I will heal their land. Are you getting the point? He will see a woman come from somewhere. He said, healing is for the children. And you are one of the dogs. And the woman will exercise. It's a law. Are you getting what I'm saying? That law, God will just ignite something in the woman's heart. And once she steps into it, Jesus said, well, you've gotten your result. I can't stop it because it's a law. And then that woman came to Jesus. He didn't even discuss with him. He said, you go your way. Me, I will get my healing. Jesus was going. Just pinch and small and run. that he just touched him small, knowing that he shouldn't notice because there were many people touching him. Again, like I said, what? It's a law. So when she touched him like that, she got healed. Now, this is my own perception. What happened was that energy was so drained from Jesus Christ that he wanted to take the next step. It took him so much energy to take that next step. So he stopped. Said, what happened? Somebody has collected it. So everybody stop. Stop. Who is the spiritual pickpocket there? Who has become rich at my expense at this moment? Who is that person who touched me? And Peter, who didn't have that amount of faith, he says, sir, I know you have been busy, so everything is not together. But adventure, he did not notice. There are many touching you. If you want to arrest everybody. Just say, this guy doesn't understand the law of faith. These people are just touching. They want to go and say, I touched him. I was there. I saw him. I saw one Afar bragging once. That one day, Oshofa founder of Celestial Church of Christ, put a hand on his head. And he removed his cap to show me that he put his hand like this. I'll cover the cap back. And I looked at them and said, empty hand, empty head. The man who laid hands on you, where is he? The head upon which he laid hands, what is he doing right now? You are the gate man without a family at the age of 60. He laid hands on you. What is impressing me about that? Every night you'll be chanting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Mutazman, Allahu they laid hands on you. What has that affected your life? That's why a lot of people were touching Jesus Christ. To go home and say, this hand, I touched him. You know, yesterday I was listening with Joy yesterday. She opened her mouth. I said, one day I was talking with Bishop David Oyedepo, and he said, sir, what did you say? I said, Bishop said, you were talking with him, yes? Two of you alone? I said, yes. I said, yeah, what is the problem? Why are you opening your mouth? He said, nothing, sir, nothing, sir. The young woman was him. She was surprised. I said, I have never given the gist before. He said, no. Oh, I said, in case you did not know, the first time Bishop organized School of Ministry, I attended as a personal invitation. Like, you're a big man, no? that one is smart. That one is not. Look, listen. That doesn't mean anything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It doesn't mean anything. He has talked to many people, and they are going to fail in life.